In Bava Metzia, today's daf is Tzadi Aleph. Let's start on the bottom of Tzadi Amud Beis, all the way towards the bottom, about five lines from the very bottom. Itmar, we learned. We're talking about the prohibition of the Torah, Lo Sachsom Shor B'disho. Do not muzzle your ox while your ox is threshing. You have your ox out on the grain, stepping on the grain, separating the chaff from the kernels. Do not muzzle the ox. Don't say, oh, ox, you can't eat. And that's, as we've seen, the Gemara says it's because you have to help the ox out. It has to be good for him. That's why if the ox is has the runs, he has diarrhea, then you could muzzle him. It's bidisho in his grain. If the ox is stepping on maaser or truma, then technically there wouldn't be a prohibition, but based on maris ayin, because it looks bad, there's a prohibition. And we had all these interesting scenarios yesterday. What happens if the ox got a thorn in its mouth, you didn't take the thorn out, and now you want the ox to thresh, or you put the ox's child nearby the ox, and that's why the ox doesn't want to eat. Or is that also considered violating this law of lo sachsom shor b'disho? Do not muzzle the ox while it threshes. So now another scenario. Itmar, we learned. Chasma b'kol. What happens if you took the ox out to thresh, and when it leans down to start snacking, you scream, hey, hey you, don't eat. So you just used voice. Is that considered muzzling? Is that an action? Or, similar question in regards to kilayim. We know you're not allowed to harness together a horse with a donkey and have the horse and donkey pull a plow in the field. That's the prohibition of kilayim. What happens if the donkey and the horse are harnessed together to the wagon and you scream and then the horse and donkey start pulling? Is that considered the prohibition of kilayim? So, Rav Yochanan Amar Chai, Rav Yochanan said you'd get malkos for both scenarios. You'd get lashes. It's a prohibition. Rish Lakish Amar Patur, apparently it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. You didn't do an act. And if you don't do an act, as the Gemara teaches in Maseches Makos, there are no lashes. So Rav Yochanan Amar Chai, Rav Yochanan said there are lashes both in stopping an animal from eating through your voice or in moving the horse and donkey together with your voice. Because Akimas Piv, Avya Maisa. Moving your lips, bending your mouth, that is an act. Rish Lakish Amar Pater, Rish Lakish said, no, you're exempt. Kala lo havi maisa. Rish Lakish held that sound is not an act. Sound, voice, is not an action yet, so it's a lav. Shein bo maisa, and there's no malchus. Eis v'Reb Yochanan. Yeah. So Eis v'Reb Yochanan, Rish Lakish, Reb Yochanan, challenge Rish Lakish. Again, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that words, speech, moving the mouth, that is already an act. And for that act, you could get Malkos as a lav, Sheyesh Bo Maisa. So we have a Mishnah in regard to Tmura. Now, Tmura means exchange. The Torah says that if I have an animal, let's say I took I made Dali my sheep into a carbon shlamin. And then as we get to Yerushalayim, I decide, you know what? Dali's a really good sheep. I don't want to give away Dali. I'm going to switch Dali for Mali. And I'm going to take the Kedusha off of Dali and put it into Mali. So I say, Mali takes the place of Dali. So because Hashem was worried that we wouldn't give Hekdush a fair deal, Hashem said, sorry, Dali still has its Kedusha, and Mali has the Kedusha of Dali. So, hu tmura so yiyeh kodesh. Both he and the attempted exchange are kodesh. So we have your Mishnah here. The Mishnah says that hakol memirim, everyone can create tmura, can make this exchange. What does it mean? Everybody can create the exchange, both men and women. So the Mishnah explains, lo sha'adam rashay lahamir. It's not that you're allowed to make tmura. No one says you're allowed to make tmura. The Torah says not to do it. Ela she'im heimir. But when the Mishnah says hakol meimirim, everyone can make tmura, both man and woman, it means that if a man or a woman took their carbon and try to exchange and take the Kedusha off of this animal or put it on another, both a man or a woman, if they try to do it mumar, both animals become kadosh. The sofeg es ha'arba'im, and both a man or a woman would get the 40 lashes for violating the lav, the prohibition of the Torah, lo yemirenu and lo yachlifenu. He may not exchange it. One second, what action did he do? He just said words. She just said words. She said, this animal is for this animal. It's just words. And yet for the statement of words, what do we say here? This sofig is harbaim. They both get lashes. So you see that words is already an action. That's an action. So if words are an action in regards to tzmura, words and expressing sound should be an action in regards to kilayim and in regards to chasima. Amar lei, so Rish Lakish responded to Rabbi Yochanan. Ha mani, Rabbi Yehuda hi. Who is this Mishnah? This is the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar, who's of the opinion? Lav shein bo maisa, lo ken olav. That even if there's a prohibition without an act, you also get malkos.
Can't we say that the issue in Tamura here, the issue generally, is a question of vows? So one vows that he's going to make something hektish, one vows. Of course, the act of making a vow is something you do with your mouth. So how can you compare an issue of vows to an issue of something else?
We're not questioning whether you do it with your mouth. Is that right, significant? Is that a maisa? Right, you get malchus for such a thing.
So you say that vows is a specific issue where obviously saying a vow has an impact, but the issue of vows shouldn't be applicable to necessarily to every other issue in the Torah.
It is. The question is it a maisa or not? So we're saying that right now we're suggesting it's not a maisa. Words are not a maisa. Words are not an act. But if you those you get malchus even without an act. The Gemara says, "Umi matzis mukmas lakir of Yehuda." Can you suggest that Mishnah and Tmura is following the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who says in a whole series of places that a lav she'en bo maisa you'd get malchus for? Iva katani reisha, but it said in the beginning of that Mishnah and Tmura, "Hakol memirin," everyone can create Tmura. So then it says, Echad Anashim v'Echad Anashim, whether men or women. So once it says whether men or women, what's added by saying Hakol, everyone? So Avinamba. So that's what we asked about that Mishnah, Hakol Asuyemai. Why did it say everyone? What's it to include? And we answered, Lasuye Yoresh. We answered, it came to include an inheritor. Amazing case. Father made Dali the sheep into a carbon. Father died without a chance to bring that carbon. So son inherits father's carbon. If the son then says Dali's kedusha is off and exchanged for Mali, then both are kadosh. It's tmura. Now that, if you're saying that very Mishnah of Hakol, that all can create tmuras to include an inheritor, then, Delok Rabbi Yehuda. You can't then turn around and say that Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Dik Rabbi Yehuda, because if you're going to say it's Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Yoresh Eino, Meimir. Rabbi Yehuda says that a son who inherits his father's carbon cannot create Tzmura. Cannot, you know, if he tries to transmit its Kedusha to something else, the Kedusha was not transmitted. And Rabbi Yehuda also says, Yoresh Eino Somech. That if a child inherits his father's carbon, the child does not do smicha, does not lean on the carbon. So the Gemara answers, it is Rabbi Yehuda. So in second, if you say it's Rabbi Yehuda, that could explain why there could be malkos for tmura, for a prohibition that's violated by articulation, it's violated without an act. But then how come the Mishnah is saying, Hakol Memirin, everyone can do Tzmura, implying even an inheritor. According to Rabbi Yehuda, an inheritor cannot do Tzmura. So my answer is, Haitana Savala Kavase Bechada, Poligale Bechada. The Tana of this Mishnah agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on one point, and disagrees with him on something else. It's a Tana. And this Tana agrees with Rabbi Yehuda about the laws of lashes. And he says you could get lashes for a prohibition that didn't have an act. Lav she'ein bo mice, even though he didn't do an act, he just said some words, he could still get lashes. But in regards to the laws of Tzmura, he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda's positions on Tzmura. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that an inheritor can't do Tzmura, and he believes an inheritor can. Okay, that completes that discussion about muzzling an animal through a shout.
Is there a conclusion?
It's Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish. We passed him presumably like Rabbi Yochanan. We don't think that words are an act. So you. So yeah, no, we pass him like Rabbi Yochanan. That's correct. We always pass him like Rabbi Yochanan against Rish Lakish. We do pass him like Rabbi Yochanan.
That the words are an act.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's congruent with other things we learned. Say things that are falling through.
Yeah, we pass them like Rabbi Yochanan. Well, you know, here it's more than just words, right? It's the words and also there's an action on the part of the animal. So it's words with an action. So these words are considered an act.
In the notes here, there's an interesting discussion about what if you don't use words, what you go or something like that. And that causes the animal to move. Is that sufficient? Would that be sufficient? Because you wouldn't be moving your lips or whatever as
if you just wink.
But then it gets to a long discussion.
And the conclusion, I guess, is probably that it is. It is considered an act. According to Rabbi Yochanan.
It seems like the Ravid holds that. I'm not sure.
Okay. No, great, thank you. All right, so now the next topic dealing still with this law of lo sach som shor bedisho. Tanar Rabbanu Lutin Abraisa. Let's say I hire Jonathan's cow. So Jonathan says to me, okay, Zev, what do you need the cow for? I say, I have grain. I need to thresh my grain. Okay, I'm going to use your cow to thresh the grain. So Jonathan figures, well, if Zev's going to use my cow, that means that I don't need to feed my cow, at least for today, because there's a mitzvah in the Torah, lo sach som shor bedisho. Zev's not allowed to muzzle the cow while it's threshing. So what happens if that was what Jonathan thought, but I didn't do that? I violated the law. Achosim esapara v'dashba. I muzzled the cow and I threshed with that cow. So number one, loka, I get malkos for the prohibition of losachsom shorbedisho, umeshalim, and I need to pay Jonathan, because he was right in thinking that I wasn't going to muzzle. He thought that the cow had lunch, so I need to pay. What do I need to pay? Dalet kav and lepara. If it's a para, if it's a cow, I need to pay 4 kav of grain, because that's the amount that would normally have eaten. Now he needs to come up with that 4, so I need to reimburse that. The shlosha kav and lechamor, and 3 kav of grain for a donkey. That's the brisa. So the asks the Gemara, now we have a rule that we learned many times in Masechet Ksubos, a little bit in Masechet Bava Kama as well, called Kam Lei B'Dirab Minei. He already got enough in the more severe punishment. Let's say somebody does an act. This act really has 2 consequences. Let's say he burns his friend's field down on Shabbos. So there's one consequence, which is he caused damage. He burns his friend's field. There's another consequence. He was Machal Shabbos. So Chil Shabbos, the punishment is much more severe and the punishment for burning the field. Burning a field during the week, you pay. That's the damage is payment. Whereas Chilul Shabbos, the punishment is skila, is death penalty. So we have rule kamli b'drabine, enough for him, the bigger one, the fact that he's going to be put to death, that already is sufficient. He doesn't have to pay 2. And then we had the Tana Debei Chizkiah, the famous braisa from the yeshiva of Chizkiah that said that even if he doesn't actually get put to death, if there's a problem with the witnesses, or he did it by mistake, since the act itself is an act of a severe penalty, so there isn't the lesser penalty. So what about here? Here you have 2 things. The man gets lashes and he has to pay. I come to Bidiramine. Let's say that once he gets lashes, he shouldn't have to pay. I vain a loco mace. Well, don't we have a rule that a person doesn't get lashes and die? Ain't a local umeshalim, he doesn't get lashes and pay. So why should he have to both get lashes and pay? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Amani Rabbi Meirhi. This is the view of Rabbi Meir, disagrees with the idea of Kamli Bidramine, and he holds Lo Ke'umasham. A person can get lashes and have to pay. Rava Amar Rava gave another answer. We saw this also in Bava Kama. And that is that the idea of Kamli Bidramine is not the way I presented it. I said, if his act was an act of Chilul Shabbos, he's going to be killed for Chilul Shabbos. So that's the penalty the Torah imposes. It doesn't impose the penalty of paying. It's not what's going on. Really, he has to pay and he deserves to die because he did two things. But his death is the payment. It's not that there was no obligation of payment. There is an obligation of payment. But the more severe penalty fulfills the lesser penalty. So since, therefore, really there is both obligations, it's just that the court doesn't carry out the second obligation, but there really was a second obligation. And since there really was a second obligation, the right thing to do is to pay the second obligation. And in fact, if a person were to grab the money, he'd be entitled to keep it because there really was an obligation. It's just that the court doesn't carry it out. So Rav Amar Rav said, this is what we find in regards to Esnan. There is a mitzvah in the Torah that an animal, a sheep that's given as payment to a prostitute is disqualified from the Mizbeach. So what happens if a man contracts to have intercourse with his mother-in-law? And he's going to give his mother-in-law a sheep by having intercourse, if he has intercourse with her. And he has intercourse with her. So he deserves death for having intercourse with his mother-in-law. He deserves to be burnt for such a terrible sin. Does he still have to pay the sheep? If that sheep would then go and be used on the Mizbeach, would it be disqualified? So Rabbi Meir says, yes, it's disqualified. He didn't have to pay it. It was Kamli B'Dravineh. He did have to pay it. Even though he's going to be put to death, he does have to pay it. The monetary obligations do take effect in the case of Kamli B'Dravineh and all the penalties take effect. Rav Amar Esnan Asur Torah, Hashem prohibited Esnan, Afilu Baal Imo, even in a case where he had intercourse with his mother. Look at the Rashi, Rav Amar Esnan Asur Torah, Afilu Baal Imo, V'nasan Latzneb Tzleb Esnan. If a man gave his mother for intercourse with him a sheep, Esnan who? The sheep is Esnan, V'asal a carbon, it becomes prohibited to a carbon. The Esnan stomach siv. The Torah says, payment to a prostitute is prohibited to the altar. Loshna imo, doesn't matter whether there was payment given to his mother, loshna prio, given to a single girl, it becomes prohibited. Now let's say he had made this deal with his mother, that he's going to have intercourse with her, then he's going to give her a sheep. If she would demand the sheep from us, tanli es nani, she'd say to him, give me what you promised. We wouldn't make him pay it. Because once he's getting the more severe penalty of death, we wouldn't make him also give the animal that he promised. But nevertheless, when he does give it, Esnan who, it does have the status of Esnan. What do we learn from this? Alma, we learn it like this, the following amazing idea. Afilu b'makom isanami. Even when it's a case of the person being put to death for the sin, and there's also a lesser penalty, Ramu tashlumen ale. The penalty of money is really placed on him. He does have to pay the money. It's just that the court doesn't have enough power to impose and to actually mete out two punishments. But he won't fulfill his obligations to heaven until he does pay it. Because if we wouldn't say that there is a secondary obligation, if he would give it to her, would it even be considered esnan? He gave her a present. Vigabe chosem nami. So therefore, in regards to this case of the animal that is muzzled, tashlumin ramu ale, he gets lashes and he has an obligation to pay. Elashin koach bebezalon shoshtayim come to bedrabine means that the court can't impose both penalties, but the penalty is on him. They can't mete it out. But came with the ramu tashlumin ale. But since he has an obligation to pay, lo yatzi dechovasu achi yishali. He won't fulfill his obligation until he pays in the eyes of heaven. Inami itafis. And if that man, the owner, Jonathan, the owner of the ox, actually grabs 4 kav of grain from me, lo mafkina minei, the court wouldn't take it from Jonathan because I really owe it. Kach shemat mi moria zakein. That's what I heard from my teacher, the elder. We had this also in Babakam and Meruba, and there it's explained more, and I quoted this Gemara over there. So that's answer number two, an amazing idea.
So here in Kimmel Dravna, they're saying the second payment is really Dina Shemayim?
Yes!
But so then,
it's even more than Dina Shemayim. Itafas lo mafkina mine.
Fine. But then in the case in Kesubos, it's also Dina Shemayim, but they choose to not say it there. Because there we understand classically, there's only one payment. Your debt, you don't make the payment also.
Well,
even though there is this payment that
there is another obligation.
Your heir should pay that.
Gemara there's talking about debt, but all the Gemara meant there is that the court won't force him to pay. But he
not
really should pay.
This one's more descriptive.
This one's giving you more color to what's meant over there. Yes.
So, Rabbi, is this in the case where it stops with death penalty? If somebody is accused of transgressing 10 prohibitions, but none of them go to the level of the death, let's say 10 different monetary prohibitions, do we then rule that he pays all the 10? Or does it just pay the biggest one?
Yeah, they pay all 10.
All 10.
Yeah.
So the only way that stops additional adding on to it is death.
Or any physical penalty, lashes also.
So okay, so somebody has lashes three times, whatever, how many lashes?
If the act created a lashes obligation, that's what the court will mete out. The court will not mete out
but
the monetary.
But you'll only mete out the one that had the most amount of lashes.
That act.
Wouldn't add.
We'll look at each act.
But will you add lashes, 10 lashes plus 15 lashes?
We have to look at the actions that he did. An action will create one penalty that the court will mete out, but really there are multiple penalties. The court's just not meting them out. Okay, answer number three. Amar Rav Papa suggested a third answer. Again, the question is, how could the Braisa say that a man who muzzles the donkey or the cow gets lashes plus has to pay? If you're getting lashes, you shouldn't be paying. So answer number one was, this is the view that doesn't hold of Kamli B'Drabine. Or that even if you do hold of Kamli B'Drabine, there is really two obligations. Answer number three, Rav Papa, Mishas Meshicha Yechayev Lebe Mizonoseha. The moment I took the cow from Jonathan, at that moment, when Jonathan asked me, what are you going to use it for? And I said, I'm going to use it for threshing. That means I owe the cow at that moment the 4 kav of grain, because the cow's supposed to be allowed to snack while it threshes. Whereas milk lo lucky, I don't actually get the lashes till another moment, at shas chasima, until the moment of the muzzling, which is a separate act. So two different acts create two separate obligations. Okay. Amar Rav Papa said, Hani mili bo minoi debe Rav Papa bar Abba. There are these questions that they asked me in the house of Rav Papa Bar Abba.
Is Upash... that a different Rav Papa than him?
Yeah, it must be. Yeah. Upashti luhu li'isura. And I responded to them, don't do it, it's prohibited. But the truth really is, I wasn't really right. Chada kehil chasa. One point I was right about, but chada one, I told them not to do it, but really I was wrong. They could have done it. The lav kehil chasa. What were the questions? They asked me the following question. Are you allowed to knead dough and bake bread with milk? Can you make dairy bread? So I said, Pashi Luli Yisura. I said, you can't. You're not allowed to. And that's Kilchasa. So that's correct. The Tanya went in a Braisa. Ain Lashon Asa'isa B'chalav. You're not allowed to knead dough with milk. Im Lash. And if he did that and baked it, Kala Paskula Asura. All of the bread is prohibited. You can't eat it at all. Because that could lead to sin of a person eating dairy with meat. Because normally we eat bread with everything. So if there's a hot stew being served and I'm eating my bread with it and the bread has milk in it, this is milk and meat. So therefore, if there's dairy bread, it is prohibited. The post can point out, the Gemara Masechet Pesachim says that dairy bread, ke'im tura, like an ox eye, is permitted. So Shulchan Aruch explains that there are two ways for it to be permitted. If the dairy bread is in a very, very unique shape, so that's permitted because everybody knows it's unique, it's dairy, or shape of a D, or if the dairy bread is in a very small quantity. So a very small quantity, I baked a small amount, okay, I'm eating it just in dairy, can't use it for meat, it'll be remembered and that's permitted. But if you make a large amount, and it looks like all the other loaves, it's prohibited. That's why English muffins, they're dairy. But because they have that unique shape, that inside those little canyons, So that's why the OU gives a hechsher.
In Israel, the sufkan yod are different shapes.
That's right. The borekas, right? The dairy borekas are triangles, and the potato borekas are rectangles. So that you won't forget, because people many times eat borekas with meat. So if the cheese borekas would be like the potato borekas, you might have a situation of milk and meat, this sphere. Kayotze bo, similarly, you have another halacha, the same way you can't have dairy bread, you can't have meat bread. Ein tashin esatan or ba'alya, you can't smear your oven with the fat of the tail of an animal. Remember, they used to bake by throwing, you know, dough onto the walls of the oven to make a pita. The imtash, and if he did so, call a paskula asura, all the bread that's in that oven is prohibited. You can't even eat it with salt. Achiyasaka satanu, until you burn out the whole oven and get rid of all the milk, the meat, sediments that are in the oven. So that question they asked me, I gave them the right answer. But then there was another question. Iduch bo minoi, then they asked me another question, I gave them the wrong answer. They asked me like this. Ma'u lahachnis min usheino mino ledir. We know there's a prohibition of kilayim, we saw mentioned at the very beginning of today's learning. You can't harness together an ox and a donkey, or a donkey with a horse, and have it pull an animal, pull a wagon together, pull a plow together. You also cannot crossbreed, that's part of kilayim. You can't put together a donkey with a horse to make a mule. So what's the meaning of crossbreeding? Does crossbreeding mean I can't take the male organ of one and literally thrust it into the female organ of the other? Or does it mean even I can't put the two animals together in the same pen because maybe they will mix together? So the question is, what about putting the two animals in the same pen? Upashi luisu, I told him you can't. That's usur, that's crossbreeding. But the lav kilchasa, that's not the halacha. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel used to say, b'minafim, when witnesses are testifying about prohibited intercourse, that a man had relations with a married woman or something like that, ad shiyiru kiderech hamenafim. It's only prohibited if they, the witnesses, they don't have to see the literal male organ entering the female organ. They just see that the two look like they're having intercourse. It's the way of people having intercourse. Him on top of her and they're, you know, seemingly having intercourse, that's already testimony that's enough. Ubikilayim, but in regards to the prohibition of crossbreeding, at Shmuel said, at sheyachnis kimikchol b'shvoferes, you're only violating, and you get lashes until literally the person is thrusting the male organ into the female organ. So they had asked me about putting them in a pen. I said, it's usher. I was wrong. What's usher is the act itself. Or literally doing the act. So Masiv Revach Devoy Bar Ami, Revach Devoy Bar Ami challenged this lesson of Rav Papa. We have a Braisa, where the Braisa says, Ilu Nemar, had the Pasuk said, Behem Techalo Sarbia, don't, you know, crossbreed your animal, or don't breed your animal. Hayiti Omer, I would have thought that means Shlo Yochas Adam Behema, Bishash Ola Leazachar. That means you can't even be involved in any type of mating of animals. Don't hold down the female when the male is trying to get into her. Tamalama Kilayim. That's the Torah goes on. It says, it's not that you can't be involved in breeding. It can't be involved in crossbreeding. So Lav Michlal, so doesn't that imply that Kilayim Achiza Nami Lo, right? It would have thought that you couldn't hold a female when the male's going in. So that means that in Kilayim, you can't hold the female when the male's going in. Even though you're not pushing the male into the female, you're still violating Kilayim. The Gemara says, no, my achiza, what does it mean, holding? Hachnasa, it means literally thrusting the male organ into the female. Amai karle achiza, why is that called holding? Lishna ma'alya, that's more respectful, it's more tsanua, it's less coarse. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, min bimino mutter lahachnas kimikol b'shvoferes. If you have sheep and you want to breed sheep, you can take the male organ of the sheep and thrust it into the female organ of your sheep. That's not even a problem of doing something that will cause you to have negative thoughts. My time, why? It's work. It's your job. It's making money. So you're not thinking of negative thoughts. Rav Acha Devoy Bar Ami, Rav Acha Devoy Bar Ami, challenge from what we just learned. The Braisa says, Ilu Namar Behemta Lo Tabia. Had the Pasuk said, don't breed your animal. Hayit Yomur Deflot, that means Lo Yochas Adam Es HaBehema, a person can't hold the animal, Kadeshi Yalo Le HaZachas, let the male go into it. Why? Because it leads to bad thoughts. Tamaloma, that's the Pasuk continued, it said, don't crossbreed, kill ayim who the asri, now let it crossbreed. Hamin Bemino Shari, but, you know, male sheep and female sheep is allowed. Amin Bemila Nami Achiza in. So it sounds like male sheep, you can hold the female sheep and allow the male in. But Achnasa lo, but to literally take the male organ and thrust it into the female organ, that not. So I said, no, my Achiza, what does the Brice mean? It says holding Achnasa means thrusting the male organ into the female organ. Am I Karle Achiza? Why is that called holding? Again, Lishtam Alya, that's more Tsanua, it's more modest. Am Rav Ashi said, "Hat milsa boy minayi debei Rav Nachemya reish galusa." This question was asked of me when I was in the house, or the people from the house of Rav Nachemya, the reish galusa. They asked me the following question: "Ma'u lahachnis min umino usheino mino lidir? Are you allowed to put into a pen a male sheep, female sheep, and let's say a female horse?" Even the ika mine basar mine gari. Do we say, well, you know, the male's going to go with the female sheep because it's got a sheep available, and therefore it's not a problem? Or maybe a filu achilo. Maybe even so, it's a problem because you put it in together with the horse. Maybe there'll be something between the sheep and the horse. Upashi lulisur. I told him, don't do it. But the loke ilchasa. But the truth is, I was wrong. It's not the halacha. You could do it. The reason why I said that it's aser. Mishum pitzusa da'avdi, because you're dealing in a very wealthy home. There are a lot of non-Jews there. And since there are a lot of non-Jewish slaves, if they see it, they say, oh, well, you know what? Apparently kilayim is not prohibited. They don't understand, well, the reason why you could put the sheep together there is because the sheep will be with the sheep. They won't be with the horse. They're going to think, oh, there is no prohibition of crossbreeding. So therefore, for their sake, I said, don't do it. But really, the halacha should be that it would be permitted. Okay, going back to the laws of a worker who may eat, he may snack when he's finishing up, when he's doing finishing tasks in the field of his employer. Haya ose biyadav, let's say he's working with his hands, avalo baraglav, but not with his feet, baraglav avalo biyadav, working with his feet, but not with his hands, afilu biktefo, just working with his shoulder, let's say he's carrying the grapes. Reza Ochel is allowed to snack on the grapes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, no, Achiyasa Biyadav Viraglav. The only time a worker is allowed to snack is when the job that he's doing is making his hands and feet work. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reasoning of the Tana Kama? So it's based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk said, Ki Savo B'Karam Reyacha, where if you will go into the vineyard of your friend, so B'Chol Maidav, whatever you're doing in that vineyard, you're allowed to snack. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that Achiyasa Biyadav Raglav, only if he's working with hands and feet. My time to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda that he has to be doing a job of both hands and feet? Kishor, because as we saw earlier, there are comparisons between the ox and the worker. That's compared to an ox. When an ox is threshing, he's using all four legs. So he's using his hands, the two front legs, and he's using his feet, the two hind legs. So that's when the ox is allowed to eat, so a worker is allowed to eat when he's also doing a job that his whole body is in, hands and feet. So mashor achiyase biyadav uviraglav, af poel achiyase biyadav uviraglav. Boy, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna asked the following question. Okay, that's an amazing idea. What happens if he's threshing with ducks? So the ducks, they only thresh with 2 feet. They don't thresh with their hands. Mm-hmm. So then are you allowed to muzzle a duck? Dash ba vazim return a golem. Let's say you thresh with chickens or with ducks. They don't have another 2 hands. They only have feet. So they're just working with their feet. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. So Kunt Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, what would you say then? Mahu. You say that you can't muzzle them because b'chol kocho b'yinim v'ayika. Because you can't muzzle anything that's working with all of its strength. Here it's also working with all of its strength. Or maybe the law that you can't muzzle is you can't muzzle something like an ox that actually has hands and feet. Whereas a duck and a chicken, they're not working with the hands and feet. So then you could muzzle them. Take it, we don't know the answer. Rav Nachman said the name of Rabbi Bar Avuha, Paulim, Workers who haven't yet walked both horizontally and vertically in the wine press. So then it really looks like they're still working with the grapes. It doesn't look like there's so much wine yet. Then they can snack on the grapes, but they can't yet drink in the wine because it doesn't look like they're working in the wine. But once they've walked horizontally and vertically in the wine press, and so now there's a lot of wine, they can snack on the grapes and they can drink from the wine. Next Mishnah. If a person is a worker picking figs, he's not allowed to then go to the grapevine and eat from the grapes. If he's working in the grapevine, he can't eat from the figs because he can only eat from that which he's working in. What he is allowed to do is he's allowed to not eat any figs. So he'll have more of an appetite by the time he gets to the grapes, which are more delicious, to eat more grapes. Ad shemagia lemakom yafos, till he gets to the place where there's the better fruit, vochel, and he can eat from them as much as he wants. Again, not as much as he wants, enough to be full. So even though now he's going to have more appetite, he'll eat more, that's permitted. V'chulan, in all these cases that we allow a worker to eat, lo amru el b'shas melacha. While he's doing his work, he can take a snack. But he can't, stop his work to go off to the side and, fress away. Avol mishum hashav aveda lebailim. But based on hashav asaveda, so that midrabanan, they made a law that actually to help everybody out, Amru, they said, Paul and Ochlem alichasam yumun le'oman. If a worker finished one row and he's walking to another row, while walking, even though he's not actually doing work at that moment, he can eat. And when they're coming back from the wine press, they brought a lot of grapes to the wine press to be pressed. He's walking back, he can also snack. And a donkey, even when it's unloading, can eat from when it's unloading, as long as it hasn't fully unloaded, it can snack on the food. This is a din d'rabbana. Says the Gemara, Ibailu had a question. What about Osa Begefen Zeh? Let's say he's working on this grapevine. Maushi Yochal Begefen Acher. Is he allowed to eat from a second grapevine? Nimin Shata Nosin Lekelev Shabal Abayas Bina. Ika. Listen, right now, that's the type of fruit he's putting into the utensils of his employer, right? Don't put into your utensils, put into his utensils. But you can snack. So he's putting into his utensils, he's allowed to eat from it. Maybe the law is you can only eat from the grapes that you are putting into his utensil. Well, Lekka, you're not yet working on that second vine, so you can't eat from that second vine. Lo yochal begefen acher, so the Gemara says, if you're going to say that when working with one grapevine, you can't eat from the other grapevine, then shor b'mechubar hechi achil, right? We had a whole discussion that an ox can eat even from that which is attached to the ground. So presumably, what does it mean an ox is going to be eating from that which is attached to the ground? The ox is carrying a wagon. The wagon is put next to a grapevine, and a person is cutting off the grapes from that vine and putting it into the wagon. And the ox is by the five vines ahead, and he's eating from that vine. So you see that you can eat from another vine, even though you're not working on it right now. Amar Rav Shisha Bar David, maybe not. Maybe the case of the ox was Bishrachan, a very long vine, where at the back of the vine you're taking grapes off and putting it into the wagon, and the front of the vine you haven't yet gotten to, but that's where the ox wants to nibble. So Tashma, coming to your proof about this question, can you take from a second vine when you're working on one? We learned, Hayosa b'tzeinim, the Mishnah says, if you're working with the figs, lo yochel ba'anavim, you can't snack on the grapes. Ha'tzeinim u'tzeinim dumya t'tzeinim ba'anavim, but if it's working on figs to eat from other figs, even though it's similar to figs and grapes, you'd be allowed to. So it sounds like from a separate tree, you'd be allowed to. But if you're going to say that when you when you are working with one grapevine, you can't eat in another grapevine. So what's the case of figs to figs? I'm Rav Shisha Brei Rav Yidi, Rav Shisha Brei Rav Yidi, it's like this. If you're working with one grapevine, you can't eat from another grapevine. What's the case of the Mishnah? Bemudlis. When a grapevine is growing on a fig tree, so now it looks like one big tree. So when you're working on the tree, you might think that you could take from the grapes. So you can't, because they are two separate things. However, if you'd have one fig tree and on top of it overlaid a second fig tree, when working on one, you could eat from the other, because it's really eating from the same tree. Tashma, come in here, proof. We learned again in our Mishnah. Avo moneas atzmo, the worker is allowed to deny himself grapes, till he gets to the nicer stuff. And then eat as much as he wants, you know, so he gets full. Now, if you're going to say that whenever you're working with one grapevine, you can eat from another grapevine, so nezel v'nesi v'nechel. So while he's working with this grapevine, let him go to the other grapevine and eat from it. And it's the Gemara, no, Hassan, he can't do that. Mishum bitzum alacha, because when he's doing his work, he can't stop doing his work. So lo kami boilan, that wasn't a question. Ki kami boilan, our question is, hey chadiika ishto uvana, where he has his wife and his children, and they're going to bring him the grapes from the other vine. My, is that allowed? So Tashma coming here, proof from our Mishnah, the Kulam, and all these cases that we allow a worker to eat. Lo amru ela b'shas melacha. That's really only while doing the work. But midrabanan of pnei hashav aveda levaylim, in order to help everybody out, to do hashavas aveda to the owner. Amru, they said, Paul and Ochem alichasim umal uman. When workers are walking from one row to the other, they can snack of a chazirasim and agas when they're coming back from the wine press. Svarua, they figured, mahalech, if a person's walking from one row to the next, ka'osa maisa dami. So he's basically doing something for the employer. Nevertheless, mishum hashav aveda labayla mudachil, he's only allowed to eat because of a dindra abanan. Midoraisa lo achil, midoraisa, he's not allowed to eat. Almosa begefen zayin ochel begefen achil. You see that when he's working on one vine, he can only eat from that vine. He can't work on one vine and eat from another vine. Maybe I'll tell you also begefen zayochel begefen achil. When he's working on one vine, he can eat from the other. When he's walking from row to row, he's not doing something for the balabayas. And therefore, he shouldn't be allowed to eat, but only based on a dindra rabbanan, to help everybody out, they allowed him to eat. Ikadami, in other versions, faruah, they figured in the yeshiva, mahali, chlavko semaisadami, walking from row to row is not doing something for the owner. That's why midoraisa can't eat. Mishum de lavko semaisadami, because he's not busy doing something for the owner right now. But it sounds like if he is doing something, he would be able to eat, even though he's eating from something that he's not working on right now. You see that even if you're working on one thing, you can eat from another vine. So, no, maybe not. Maybe I can tell you, if you're working on one vine, you can't eat from another vine. But walking from row to row, ko-semai-sadami, is considered working on the vines. And nevertheless, you're only allowed to eat midrabanan, midoraisa. You can't eat, because when you're working on one vine, you can't eat from another vine. But midrabanan, they allowed you to eat to help everybody out. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi, Omer Retzach, Kodesh Baruch Hu,